Greetings, everyone. Welcome. My name is Andy Neal, and you're listening to the Hiker Podcast. What is up, hikers? This is Andy Neal, and you're listening to the podcast that asks the why questions of hiking, that gets to know the hiker behind the trekking poles, that asks hikers, how has hiking changed you, and how are you changing the world around you? That's right. This is the Hiker Podcast. This is the second episode this week because I am crazy. I am. This episode is sponsored by Bear Vault, makers of the bear canisters that we all love to carry through bear country. We have a wonderful interview with Tracy, owner of Bear Vault, on the show talking about why it's important to utilize bear canisters, not only to protect yourself, other hikers, but wildlife too. That's coming up here in a little bit. So I do want to thank Bear Vault for sponsoring this episode. Also thank our other sponsor, CS Instant Coffee, the best instant coffee on the trail. Make sure you go to the description of this episode, find a link, buy their coffee, helps us out. Also Knock Outdoors, maker of the Visica water bottles, the water bags, the carbon fiber cork trekking poles, the last pair of trekking poles you're ever going to need, handmade. These trekking poles are handmade in Portland, Oregon. If you want 10% off a pair of those new trekking poles, put Hiker Podcast in the coupon code at your checkout, or just use the affiliate link in the description of this episode or at hikerpodcast.com. Also at hikerpodcast.com, you'll find the socials for this show, as well as our sponsors, as well as all the different ways to listen. If you want to get a free sticker, hit me up on email, andy@hikerpodcast.com, or on Instagram, just at Andy Films and Hikes. You'll get a hold of me. I'll send you a sticker in the mail free of charge. That's right, because I want people. Hikers love stickers. I mean, come on, we do. We just love stickers. So check that out. Also at hikerpodcast.com is our Patreon if you want to support the show that way, or click on the Apple Podcast link there and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review. Make sure you leave a note or two. Let me know what you like about the show. With that, we're going to get on to our interview here with this week's sponsor, Bear Vault. We have Tracy, who is the owner of Bear Vault, manufacturer of the bear resistant food canisters for backpackers and adventurers. She is an experienced hiker and idolizes a world in which wilderness stays truly wild, and considerate adventurers will have the privilege of being awed by nature now and forever. And a big part of that is making sure we keep our food away from them. Tracy stays busy working virtually on every aspect of the Bear Vault business, and in her spare time she enjoys hiking and skiing. Before focusing on bears, Tracy worked for startups and initiatives in the wild, solar, green building with environmental nonprofits, and she holds an MBA, a BS, and a BA. We had an amazing conversation, and she's just so knowledgeable on not only why these bear canisters are important, but why that we need to be carrying them and how they affect the wildlife around us. And, you know, we just have a really good conversation. So sit back and listen, you might learn something. And I know for me, what I learned helped me realize I need to have a better attitude about those bear canisters when I'm trekking through the desolation wilderness this summer. It's like, you know what? Yeah, they're a little extra heavy, but guess what? It's a part of leaving no trace. So without any further ado, my conversation with Tracy from Bear Vault. All right, hikers, it's that time of year. Spring is now upon us. Things are blooming. The weather is clearing. Through hiking season is here. Backpacking season is here. People are already heading out on the AT. PCT hikers are getting ready to go here. And with that comes the bear canister. And I have Tracy from Bear Vault here to talk about her passion with Bear Vault. She is the founder and owner of Bear Vault and her background. So Tracy, thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing today?
You're welcome. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
So Tracy, you are the owner of Bear Vault. But before we get into Bear Vault, just tell us a little bit about yourself. You're an outdoor enthusiast. You love the outdoors. Tell us about how you got into the outdoors and into hiking.
Sure. Well, I guess it started when I was a kid. I grew up in Calgary, which is just at the base of the Rocky Mountains in Canada. And my parents used to take us out pretty much every weekend, hiking or cross-country skiing or whatever the season allowed. And so I grew up with the outdoors a lot. And the mountains there are just spectacular. There's such a variety of trails. And we would regularly do family backpacking trips, camping trips, and just day hikes. And so I think that's definitely where I nurtured my love of the outdoors.
And from there, you've created this company where if you are, especially on the PCT, if you're a thru-hiker, you're carrying these bear canisters, the 450, the 500. I personally have the 500. We all love to put stickers all over them. And a lot of people kind of have this love-hate relationship with a bear canister because it's this necessary thing we have to carry. It's required in some of the places, but it is heavy. But tell us a little bit about what was the impetus of Bear Vault as a company, and why did you decide to do that?
Sure. Well, I should just say that I was not the founder of the company. We actually took the company over 4 years ago as the owner retired. And the original owner was an avid PCT hiker. And bear canisters were one of those, they weren't regulated at the time, but they were becoming a more popular choice for hikers just to protect food from bears. And he kind of kept looking and thinking, I feel like there's got to be a better solution. I'd really like to be able to see my food. I'd really like to have a wider opening. And I don't want to have a coin with me all the time to open it. And so that was really the whole background on why he decided to go to the drawing board and figure out a different solution. He was an engineer. He spent a lot of time drawing, experimenting. And it turns out, bear canisters look simple, but there's actually a lot of design that has to go into making them work for both people and for bears. And there were various bear testing agencies at the time, and it sure wasn't the first attempt that made it into a final product.
So talk to us a little bit about why it's important for hikers, backpackers, through hikers to have a bear canister when they're hiking through bear country.
So bear canisters are widely recognized as the overall best method for securing your food from animals. If we go a long way back, hanging food was the go-to method, and it still happens in some places. A couple issues with hanging food, though, are that you always see the picture of how to hang your food. And there's this huge tree with a really long horizontal branch that's just perfect for hanging your food. But in reality,
you can't find it.
Never like that. Yeah. And so if you go to a campsite that is frequented by backpackers, the few trees that might kind of work tend to get really battered up because of the number of people. And if you've ever hung food before, you'll know that it's like a multiple attempt thing, trying to toss it just to the right height and get it over. And it's kind of like an activity, but it does end up causing a lot of damage to the trees. And so as we have more and more people going to designated campsites in the backcountry, that really destroys a lot of the trees around there. And then the other problem that's come up is that actually, especially with black bears, which most people who hike tend to go into the areas where there are black bears, the black bears can climb, and the younger, lighter ones especially. And so there are multiple instances where bears have climbed over, jumped on hangs, and pulled them down, or they send their cubs up to do the same. So they're not 100% by any means. And over time, a lot of the parks kind of look at, well, how well are we protecting our bear population? And by that, I mean, their interest is in making sure that as us humans go out and explore the wilderness, that it stays wilderness and that wild animals have the opportunity to stay wild. And there's always going to be a little bit of interaction, but they don't want wild animals getting used to being close to people. And as wild animals do get habituated to people, especially if there's food involved, they tend to lose a lot of their inhibitions and they start getting a little too bold. They'll come closer, and eventually they can get aggressive. And that's not just bears. It really goes for any wild animal. And so the parks want to stop that from happening because ultimately, especially with larger animals like bears who can be very dangerous if they're aggressive, they have two options to handle that. And one is to try to relocate a bear. The problem is that once a bear has lost its inhibitions, it tends to stay that way. And so it will gravitate back towards areas where people are and it'll keep going for the food. And the other way to handle it is to put bears down. And that is a nice way of saying, you know, something really sad. They're killing bears because of a problem that ultimately belongs to people not taking enough care of keeping their food away from the wildlife. In the United States, there are about 1,000 bears put down a year. Most of those are not from backpacking kind of campsites. Most of them are trash bears or those that frequent bird feeders or just things around houses and cities. But the fact is a lot of bears do get put down and that's really sad. So I think that from the park's point of view, especially out in the wilderness where they're trying to keep everything really wild, they're looking for the best solution to keep food away from the bears and from wildlife in general. Canisters put the burden on the backpacker to take care of their own food. And so everybody brings a canister, puts their food in it, keeps it away from their tents, and that is it's not something you have to throw up in trees or mess with the trees. You know, it's fairly simple and easy to use. And if you need to go in at night and get your toothbrush, it's not a huge hassle. And so they have become the favored method of food storage in the backcountry. And then there's a few other methods out there. A lot of people will say, why don't they put those huge storage bins up in the backcountry sites? And there are a few that have that. But what happens is if you allow people to take their food and use a common shared facility like that, a lot of times people will leave stuff there. They'll take too much food or they have trash and they don't pack it out the way they ought to. And so you can end up getting to a campsite thinking, oh, I have a place to put my food and there is no space. And so ultimately, just making each person responsible for their own food storage is really the best solution in the backcountry.
So there was a lot there. And I'm curious, how do you design or are these designed to keep bears out from the scent and the smell? Because there's bear boxes on campsites. And I know I've gone to campsites backpacking. You get to get there, you hear there's a bear box. You look on Gaia and like, oh, there's a bear box there. You open it up, it's torn up. It's, you know, or you look, there's obviously been a bear somehow got into it. I've heard stories here in Southern Oregon where campers wake up in the middle of the night and there is a bear in the, you know, campsite's bear box. What is it about bear vaults, bear canisters that keep bears out of it? And if they do start messing with it, keep them from actually opening it? You have these very large mammals. How do they not break into this thing? Though I've tried to, I mean, I've dropped my bear canister, I don't know how many times, and it barely has a scratch on it. How do you keep bears out of it?
Well, I guess there's a couple of caveats with the answer. First, you mentioned scent. And us humans have these tiny little noses that are really ineffective compared to most of the animal world. And so while we do want to do our best to reduce scents, and there are, you know, bags that are, they sell them as scent proof, but really for a bear, they're just reducing the scent. So there are ways to reduce scent transmission, but I would not characterize anything that we make as scent proof when it comes to a bear's nose. Bears have a sense of smell. I believe it's 700 times that of a bloodhound.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. We just need to be careful in what we think our expectations are. I think the other thing is there are two ways that bear containers can fail. And the most common is from user error. And user error, you know, maybe the latch isn't closed properly on that big bear box, which happens a lot. And we see it a little bit with our canisters too. Maybe people put the lid on, but they don't twist it past the locks, or maybe they just...
Guilty. Totally guilty. Done
it. Oh, dear. because a lot of times, you know, we're preoccupied with what we're doing. We're at a campsite. We got our food out. Okay, let's just put the lid on, sort of. And maybe it's forgotten about for a little while. So user error is definitely one of the issues. But the other thing is nothing is 100% bear-proof. Because bears are wild animals who are a whole group of individuals, and each of them will take their own approach to solving a problem. And so as much as we can design super strong things, and they will keep the vast majority out, there will occasionally be a bear who might figure something out with any kind of container. But let me get to how does a bear vault work and how does it keep a bear out? So we've got the challenge of trying to create a container that is light enough to be portable, but strong enough to keep this huge mammal out. And when there's actually a whole bear testing program. And when we look at how bears approach trying to get into a canister, they take different approaches. There are the bears that use what we call CPR, and they'll basically take a canister and they'll try to pump that thing as much as they can, hoping that it'll open up. So the bear vault is made out of a plastic that for its weight is about as strong as it gets. Now, it's not one of those aircraft or sort of space kind of technologies, because we're also trying to keep the costs to something reasonable that most people would be able to afford. But the plastic is incredibly strong for its weight. So we've got it to kind of the thickness that is good enough to keep those pumping bears out. But that's light enough that people can still carry it. And on the market, bear vaults are still, for their size, the lightest canister out there. There's one exception to that, but for on the mass market, not the specialty market. And then bears will try biting. So they have these teeth, relatively sharp, and they'll try kind of biting and twisting. And so you can't have something that's too brittle because it'll break. So again, there was a lot of research into the types of materials to use and making sure that while they might get some marks in there, they're not going to be able to bite through. And then, you know, they'll play with them. They'll toss them around. They'll pick them up and let them drop. And so, you know, it has to be strong enough to withstand impact. From sort of the top of a bear paw height. And so bear vaults were designed around those criteria. And then in terms of keeping the bears out, the system, we wanted a system that is not dependent on using a tool. So you don't have to take a separate thing to open your bear vault. And most of the other canisters require a coin in order to open them. So with a bear vault, it is a push system. There are two snaps on the lid that pass a little kind of locking nub. And when they're easy to snap past the nub, but when you want to undo it, you push in on the snap enough to sort of wedge it past that nub and open it. So it's a pretty simple system to use, and you can do it with your fingers and everything. And you don't need a tool for it.
So the testing process, what does that look like? I'm looking on your website here. There's these bears looking all cute, playing with it like it's a toy. I mean, do you literally just put food in it, drop it with some bears, and then test and see if it works?
Yeah, there's actually an official bear testing site that is sanctioned by the government. And that is the gold standard for bear testing. What it is they have, it's in Yellowstone, and they have a bunch of grizzly bears. And these bears are used to testing products. That's actually what they do most of the season through the spring and summer. And the criteria is, can it survive a dedicated bear attack, I might call it, for an hour? And if it does, after a bear is actively toying with it for an hour, it's considered bear resistant. And the organization is called the IGBC, the Interagency Grizzly Bear Committee. And so when you have a product that you think you'd like to test and make sure it's pretty bear proof, you take it over there. And they'll set bears on it with a timer and a video and making sure that it's got full time being played with by various bears. And again, they all have their own antics. And then it'll get an official certification if it passes.
And the video on your guys' website is actually kind of adorable, watching these bears just play with these things. Now, my question to you now is, there's a lot of hikers out there who will say, you know, the weight's just not worth it to me. I'm an ultralight backpacker. I'm an ultralight through hiker. And, you know, I'll just use a bag. I'll just hang. I know there's requirements, but they're not really going to cite me if they catch me without a bear canister. What are the dangers to someone going into the backcountry or on a through hike where there's a bear canister required? Like for myself, I'm getting ready to hike the Tahoe Rim Trail, and through the Desolation Wilderness, I'm required to have a bear canister per the National Forest Service. What is the danger of just ignoring those warnings and going into the backcountry where you know there are black bears and grizzlies without a bear canister?
Well, I would say first, I hope that trying to avoid fines is not the main reason people would choose not to take an actual bear canister. I know it's extra weight, and nobody likes to carry extra weight while hiking. But when you're going into areas where people go backpacking and camping commonly, it's really important to use the proper food storage. And, you know, you talk about Desolation Wilderness. Trees tend not to be high there. You take a bag, if you leave it at ground level, absolutely a bear is going to go for it. You lose your food, but you're making a bear less wild. You're making them more aggressive, and you're probably risking that bear's life because there's a good chance, if that keeps happening, that bear's going to be put down. So I think, you need to think about why you're going into the wilderness and what wilderness means, and just take that extra step, even if it is a little extra weight in your pack. Take that step to make sure that you're caring for the environment and you can keep it wild for you and everybody else and for the animals that live there for the long run.
Absolutely. And it really is super important, because you don't want these animals to get euthanized. You don't want, to put other campers and backpackers and hikers in danger. A question for you I have now is, because there is a lot of new hikers who listen to this podcast, they look at this bear canister, they look at their pack, and they're like, how on earth am I supposed to get this into that? What is a tried and true process to get bear canister on your pack if you're on a backpacking trip or a through hike?
The first thing I'll say is that it's actually by far best to put it inside your pack. And I know that packs have gotten smaller and smaller, and a lot of our components have gotten lighter and smaller, which is awesome. But if you can fit it in your pack, if it's wide enough to put it sideways at the bottom, that's ideal. If it's not, you can usually fit it upright inside a pack. And the reason I say it's best to put it inside is because when you fill that thing with food, that is your weight in your pack. That is going to be the single heaviest object in your pack. And when I say that also, if you have extra space, make sure you put your other things in the canister as well, just to fill it so that you can pack as compactly as possible. When you have weight, you want it to sit right in your backpack. And most backpacks are designed to try to throw the weight onto your hip belt. If the weight is pulling off the back of your shoulders, it'll hurt you over time. It pulls on your neck muscles, and it really pulls down on the top. It gives you the more kind of back issues. So you really want to try to use the backpack the way it's designed and to throw the weight onto your hip belt. And the best way to do that is to put the heaviest item in the center, close to your back, put something that's a little bit more filler at the bottom, and put your handy dandy kind of items that you might need, like a rain jacket, at the top. If you have a pack where you really cannot put it inside, the Bear Vault can be strapped on. It comes with these little dimples, we call them, around the outside, and they're basically to add some grip if you're tying straps around the Bear Vault. So the next best place would be to put it under the top pocket that folds over your pack, and to secure it in there with straps. The place that would be least favorable is to hang it on the bottom. And I say that because when you have something hanging down below, it's really annoying while you're hiking. And then it can also, sometimes if you're going down a steep grade, and you know, you take a big step down, you've got something that's hanging kind of behind your bottom, it can hit the rock or hit the side of the hill and propel you forward. I'm speaking from experience. And so you always have to think about how things throw your balance off as well. So again, ideally inside your pack, close to your back, in the middle area.
So thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about the importance of food storage, especially with bears and wild animals and Bear Vault, as we're getting into this through hiking season. It's an important reminder. You have a lot of stuff going on at Bear Vault right now. Today they were recording this, actually a big day for your company. Tell us a little bit what's going on at Bear Vault.
Sure. So we've gone through a lot of changes in the last year. And I think ultimately a lot of them were spurred by the changes to business that happened from COVID. I think we're not alone in saying it messed up just about everything. And every time something got messed up, we thought, well, how could we do this better in the long run? And what we ended up doing was bringing a lot more in-house. And so we have just moved into our new location, which has a warehouse from which we will be doing all the shipping directly ourselves. And it has a workshop area where we'll be doing all the assembly and finishing ourselves, and it has offices. And so we're in a wonderful phase of moving in and starting to expand. And we're really excited about it. And today we actually have our first staff working on the finishing and the boxing of and the assembly of our product. And so it's really fun. We're bringing this all in-house and we're starting today.
And have you found, like, I know I walk into an outdoor store right now, in REI, my independent mom pop shop, you know, shout out to Ashland Mountain Provisions in Ashland, Oregon. They're having trouble keeping things on the shelves. One, because there's a supply chain issue with COVID, but two, everyone's going in the outdoors now. People have discovered, you know, I can't go to the movies, I can't go out to eat like I used to. We're going to go take up hiking, camping, whatever. Have you found that also the supply and demand issues have just been kind of throwing everything off as well?
100% on both sides. Yes, on the demand, you know, last year was a really hard year to navigate because when COVID first came up, we thought, oh, well, people will probably try to go out hiking. And then the national parks all closed. And we and a lot of other brands pulled back. Oh my goodness, stop. Manage cash flow. We've got to be really careful. We don't know what's happening. And then when summer came, people had had enough and they were going out anyway. And so what we saw was a sudden, very sharp uptick in demand where we hadn't accumulated enough inventory to support that. And again, I think this happened with so many outdoor brands, and certainly consumers have seen that. And, you know, a lot of the brands have experienced that. And then on the supply side too, just where every part of the supply chain, you've got companies that have workers that have to now be spaced apart or who are going on sick leave, whether it's for them or for family members, because this whole virus is doing its rounds. And so that has impacted the supply chain in so many ways, and the shipping and the distribution. So everything was impacted. And yeah, we definitely saw a huge uptick. And my hope is that a lot of people who are going out and trying the outdoors for the first time and starting to get used to it are going to get realize how fun it is to be out there, and will keep doing that throughout their lives, that this is kind of part of who they are now.
Which I think we've seen now, hopefully for so many people, they're discovering the outdoors and they're educating themselves, they're learning. I mean, this is a part of Leave No Trace, ultimately, when we're keeping our food, you know, away from wild animals. We're not, you know, altering the behavior of the wildlife. So it's so important as a part of Leave No Trace principles to make sure that you are taking care of your food and you're not putting animals in the unfortunate position where they lose their inhibitions and they're dependent on humans for food. With all that said, if someone wants to get a Bear Vault, where do they go? If they want to find out more about Bear Vault as a company, where would they go?
Well, you know, we have our website, bearvault.com. And we try really hard to support our outdoor retailers. We have great partnerships, and a lot of the people who work at these outdoor retailers, they will go out into the backcountry. They're experienced, they know the areas, they know different trails, and they know how to backpack. So if you need advice, or if you're just starting out, just spend some time talking to people, you know, at the outdoor retail stores or in the communities close to trailheads. There's a lot of experience out there to be shared. And you know, it's a fun adventure. So, but our website's also a great place if you need more information about Bear Vault.
Awesome. Tracy, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us the importance of keeping our food stored away and telling us about Bear Vault.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Tracy from Bear Vault, for talking to us. I learned a ton. I hope everybody else did too. Make sure that when you get your bear canisters, you get them from Bear Vault, because I think they are the best ones. I mean, there are a few other ones. You go to some outdoor stores, there's a few other ones, but no, Bear Vault is the best one. It's the best one to get on your pack, whether on the inside or the outside. They got the smaller one, they got the bigger one. You get to put stickers all over it. I mean, come on. Like, thank you, Tracy, for coming on the show. Go to Bear Vault's website. Link's going to be in the description of this episode. Or, you know, I can't think of an outdoor store I've been to that doesn't have Bear Vault bear canisters. I was at two different ones today, and they both had Bear Vault bear canisters. So make sure you pick them up and do your part. If you're going into bear country, grizzly country, black bear, brown bear, all that fun stuff, a lot of places, a lot of wilderness areas require them. So make sure you follow those requirements. Also, if you want to get a Hiker Podcast sticker, hit me up on email, andy@hikerpodcast.com. Also, you can follow me on Instagram @andyfilmsandhikes. For all the Hiker Podcast socials, go to hikerpodcast.com, where you'll also find our Patreon if you'd like to support the show that way, and all the different links for the different ways to listen. Guys, we're getting into the hiking season here. I'm excited. Hope you all are excited. More content's going to be coming out here. We got two episodes coming out next week. I'm going to get YouTube stuff coming out here pretty soon. I'm just super excited, and I'm super thankful to all of you guys. Also super thankful to our sponsors, Bear Vault. Thank you for sponsoring this episode, as well as Canuck Outdoors and CS Instant Coffee. Make sure you check all of our sponsors out in the description of this episode or at hikerpodcast.com. With that, guys, look forward to next week. We got two more episodes coming out next week. We have Justice Wise, who's going to be hiking the Colorado Trail this summer. We have an amazing conversation. Also, we have Francesca Weinheimer, author of a new book about scenic views in the great state of Oregon. Many of you probably know her as Hike Oregon. And that will be next week as well. With that, guys, thank you so much for listening to this second episode of this week on the Hiker Podcast.
Never be found. I'm staying.